Well, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. And on this Friday morning, it is the 8th day of January 2016. Let's take a look at the trade in Chicago as it resumed earlier today. The March contract in the corn pit is up 3¾ cents at this hour, trading around $3.57. The May up 4, 362.5, and December 382.5, 3¾ higher. Soy complex is higher as well. January beans up 6 cents at $8.83. The March up 4¼. At 8.68¾, and November beans at 8.81¼, up 4. Probably better capture that July as well, $8.78, up 4¼. Bean meal at 2.69.30, $3.10 higher. Bean oil up a dime at 29.54. The soft red winter wheat March contract 9¾ higher. July up 8¾. It's trading at 4.89¼. The harvest month July at 4.93 for the hard red winter, up 10¾ cents. Live cattle futures are $1.12.5 higher at $134.62.5. April at $135.72.5, up $1.42.5. Feeders 87.5 cents higher at $164.70. And the Jans, the March at $161.72.5, up 77.5. And lean hogs for the February contract, $1.12.5 higher at $60.67.5 for 100 pounds. Mike Zuzulo now joins us from Atchison, Kansas, in Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting to take a look at some of these numbers. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Todd. Happy New Year to you, sir.
I was taking a look at some of what USDA's report might bring to us next week as it related to a wide range of analyst guesses. And frankly, they're not looking for much changes next week in the crop production numbers at all.
No, they're really not. When looking at the Reuters report, Todd, and looking at what the analysts who expect USDA to put out on the report next week, not necessarily what analysts like me who expect the overall number to be and the final number to be, only 3 of the 10 analysts are below USDA's wheat ending stocks number from December. 6 of the 10 are actually below the USDA numbers for corn from December, and half of the soybean analysts are looking at less ending stocks in soybeans, and it's a very wide variety from high to low. You're talking about over 60 million bushels in soybeans and over 200 million bushels in corn from high to low estimate, and around 50 million in U.S. wheat ending stocks. So you're right. For the final or close to final report number of the marketing year that the trade is really relying upon here next week, it is very wide still.
Is your do you have a different attitude than the average of the trade guess?
Well, I do. I think, I mean, I'm there are several of us that do our own analysis. There's 10 of them in the 10 of them, including me, that are in the our own category, because we don't try and predict what the USDA says month to month. 5 of us out of the 10 believe that the corn ending stocks are lower. 5 out of the 10 of us believe that the wheat ending stocks are lower. Only 2 of 10 of us believe the bean ending stocks are lower. I'm one of those 2. And so, yes, I would say the last part of the harvest, I would say, based upon the client updates that I got, the while the beans held in there nicely, the USDA is probably too high in the central and eastern corn belt, especially in the corn, but also to a lesser degree in the beans. I think they're probably still a little bit too low on crush demand as well, given our hog supplies too.
Just as a reminder, USDA and its December WASDE looking for 465 million bushel carryout for the soybeans, 1.785 billion for corn, and 911 million for wheat. How much lower are you than those numbers?
I am at 1.506 on corn, 853 on wheat, and 407 on the soybeans, Todd.
All right. So, well, you're substantially lower. Let's see. That puts you down about 50 million on the soybeans, and you were at almost 150 million below where the corn number is currently.
Yeah, and there's actually a couple of us that are near that number, and so I clearly am not the only one thinking that, but I did notice that the others that were in that category of lower ending stocks are also looking at the central and eastern corn belt more than the western corn belt. That would be my guess anyway. I think that's real. Between the feed and residual number and the low test weights and low moisture numbers in that last 25 to 30% of harvest, that's really where it boils down for me to differ from USDA.
Okay, so I was going to ask you where you differ, but it's not obviously not in exports or usage numbers. It's in the production figure then.
It is. It's in the supply side. In fact, I'm very disappointed with the export demand. I think USDA is still too low on feed and residual, but I've been very disappointed that corn demand export-wise hasn't come around. I'm thankful and glad the wheat has, but the corn still is lagging at this point.
And again, so that's the production number that really is that which changes your corn. So you think Central and Eastern Corn Belt didn't raise nearly as much corn as what USDA has figured at this point. And you expect them to find that in the survey?
I don't know what to expect, quite frankly. last 7 years, I went back and looked at the last 7 years, and it was either 4 or 5 of the last 7 years, even though we got a steady or higher corn yield number. The January report versus December showed a lower ending stocks number. So since President Obama has taken office and that USDA has been in place, that's kind of what the barometer I used was to see where the ending stocks came in out. The corn ending stocks tend to go down in January domestically versus December. And that's why, in part, I think we have better than a 50% shot of that happening again. I think moving over towards the marketing side and what the trade is looking at, given that we held these major support levels of 345 in corn and 845 in beans and 450 in wheat in lead month futures, given this 5% break in the stock market and given the fact that we hit 12-year lows in the crude oil, I do think the report probably needs to feed the bear. In other words, we need bearish news or price negative news to push these markets lower, especially with the way the wheat and the soybeans are acting here at the end of the week. We could actually close higher on the week in the wheat and the soybeans, and that asset allocation and rotation you and I have been talking about for so long may actually be occurring at this point.
If it's just the asset allocation, once we get past this, which normally lasts through about today, I guess, through the 5th through the 9th, I think,
right,
of the month or thereabouts, do you think we'll finish this up? And are you concerned about next week then?
I'm obviously concerned because the poor break-evens that producers are facing in 2016 and the need to sell cash flow 15 bushels here before the end of the month or by mid-February. But I will say that it's not just about the asset allocation. I do think that we have several credible analysts and now an attaché report that are suggesting the bean crop in Brazil shrinking, that the northern part of center west Brazil has been hit a much harder and the damage is irreversible at this point. And so if USDA doesn't come out with bigger numbers in US or global ending stocks, I think the beans are primed to actually lead this market higher after next week's reports. And I think that's where the report probably has the most meaning to me. Is there anything that could hurt the technicals? The monthly bean chart, I would encourage everybody to look at that. There is a wedge formation, a line of resistance and a line of support that goes back almost a dozen years when it comes to the support line. It's one of the biggest wedges I have seen since I've been doing this, and it is looking like it's coming to a point in the next 30 to 45 days. And so this is where the supply-demand fundamentals, the asset allocation, and the technicals would say it's not as bleak maybe as we're making it out to be, as long as USDA doesn't feed the bear.
So this is a big wedge, and when it breaks out, it'll break hard quite likely then.
Historically, it should. You know, compliance would say don't rely on that. You can't. Past performance is not indicative. Cycles could already be factored in, and that is all true. So, in my experience, this is a pretty substantial technical indicator that needs to be monitored.
And you're basing this off of the 2000, looks like 7 lows all the way up to now, and then the highs back in 12, right, or 13?
That's exactly right. Yeah, you're talking about going back almost a dozen years on the support level.
Thank you so much. We look forward to talking with you again this afternoon.
My pleasure. Nice to be with you again, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That, of course, is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. By the way, we talked about the assets and that reallocation. That's commonly called the Goldman Sachs role. Normally happens between the 5th and the 9th of the month. And, of course, there's no trading day on the 9th. So this would be the last trading day that might happen. You're listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL. AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. We're coming up on the top of the hour. It'll be 10 o'clock in the central time zone. Quick look at the weather forecast for the day. Areas of drizzle, a chance of rain before 1 o'clock this afternoon. Otherwise, rain after 1 o'clock today. It'll be cloudy with a high of 47 degrees.